Welcome to the Holistic Horse Podcast. My name is Kira Burns, and today I wanted to talk a bit about kissing spine in horses. So while this is obviously a huge, huge topic, I thought I would talk a little bit about just my thoughts in terms of, you know, diagnosis and prognosis for kissing spine. So for those of you who don't know, I actually am having an online training about kissing spine, and in particular a very kind of practical training about how to rehab kissing spine, and or just, you know, prehab, or how to work with equine back pain in general. And it is partly going to talk a little bit about, you know, this diagnosis and prognosis thing, but that webinar is going to be really just a bit of a background, and then diving into how we actually improve our horse's spinal health. So if that's something you're interested in, get in contact with me. You can have a look on at Synergy and Freedom on Facebook, and there's an event page there. It's $60. It's going to be a 2-hour training with a full ebook, and yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be really fun and really interesting, and something that can benefit you whether or not your horse has kissing spine, or whether you just want to, you know, help them strengthen over their back and all of those sorts of things. So I'm really excited about that. But anyway, and it's on the 25th of October. Sorry, I should mention that. But the call will be recorded, so if you can't actually make it on the day, that's fine. You'll get the recording sent to you as soon as the call is over. So on to today, though, because kissing spine seems to be such a big topic at the moment, and I find it really interesting, for me anyway, that, you know, I certainly heard of it and about it when I lived in New South Wales, but it seemed like when I moved to Queensland that almost every horse I came across had been diagnosed with kissing spine. And I found that really fascinating, and I find it kind of interesting to see people's reactions to this. So I see, funnily enough, I follow a lot of Facebook groups and stuff like that that talk about, you know, equine biomechanics and bodywork and saddle fit and all of those sorts of things. So I hear about it quite a lot, but I've been really fascinated because I think, and I have a little bit of a theory on kissing spine, and I'm open to, you know, anyone else's interpretation of this, but from my memory, you know, kissing spine was something that you heard about very, very occasionally, and it seemed to be that, you know, when we had a horse that had back pain that was really just intractable, it's like we couldn't find a solution to it. People would do anything and everything, and this horse would just have this really recurring back pain that then, you know, once they'd done body work, once they'd done the saddle fitting thing, once they looked at teeth, once they looked at diet, once they'd done the rehab, once they'd done all the strengthening work, once they'd done everything, gotten, you know, chiropractors, osteos, physios, massage therapists, acupuncture, like everything that they could think of for this horse, then they would get the spine x-rayed and potentially find a diagnosis of kissing spine. And part of me thinks that as a result of that, you know, because we found this kissing spine in horses with really intractable pain, part of me thinks that there's a little bit of, no, actually not even a little bit, there's a lot of excessive fear and stress just around receiving that diagnosis, because we see it as a dramatic thing. And I think if we look at the history of it, that kind of, to me, comes from its origin. It comes from that place of, you know, the horses that were originally diagnosed with it were horses that were in really intractable pain that was really impeding on their ability to be ridden, to be worked, to live a pain-free life, all of those sorts of things. And so it was a big deal to have your horse diagnosed with kissing spine. And there's a little bit of me that wonders, because, you know, I've heard of it being blamed on riding horses too early, on them not working correctly, on ill-fitting gear, on genetics, on, you know, basically everything. I've heard anything and everything about it. And there's part of me that wonders to what extent at some point we are going to realize that kissing spine is actually sometimes in some horses an incidental finding. And I say that because I've now come across a few horses that have been diagnosed with kissing spine and yet show no signs of pain in their back. And I'm talking about very subtle signs. I'm not just like, oh, well, you know, they don't have behavioral stuff or whatever. And I know that horses hide pain very well, but I'm talking the really subtle, even down to, you know, the pain grimace scale, anything like that. I'm talking about really genuinely no signs of pain, no ability to elicit a pain response when palpating their back, no pain response when saddled, when ridden, when anything else. And yet when they're x-rayed, they have kissing spine. And what it kind of reminds me of is in humans, you know, there's been all these studies done which basically say that a huge proportion of people over the age of, I think it's 35 or 40, will have some level of disc protrusion at L4-5. So layman's terms, that would be like a bulging disc in your lower back. So a large, large, large proportion of people have this. And yet when they did this study and they found, you know, all these people who had a disc protrusion, some described excruciating back pain, some described moderate back pain, some described mild back pain, some described, and a lot actually, described no back pain. And the interesting part about that is that the severity of the protrusion on the scan didn't really correlate to the level of pain experienced by the person, not to any great degree. And what we can kind of say from this, you know, from all of those people who have this disc protrusion, this, you know, huge number of people who have this disc protrusion in this one place where I think it was even the majority of them, may have even been the vast majority of them, and the numbers are just not coming to me right now, but they said that they had no back pain. They had no back pain. They experienced no back pain. They'd never really complained of back pain. Like, back pain just wasn't part of their life. And so then we called it an incidental finding. And the trouble with that for humans is that it means that when someone comes with back pain and then we do an MRI and then we see a disc protrusion at L4-5, we have a tendency to blame their pain on the disc protrusion because that's what we can see on a scan. And in actual fact, what that particular bit of research showed us was that their back pain may not be related to the disc protrusion at all. It may be a coincidence that they happen to have a disc protrusion and they have low back pain, and the two may not actually be related at all. So that's what we call an incidental finding. It's when we find something on an image that actually, you know, either isn't causing symptoms or has no correlation to the symptoms or no causative effect to the symptoms that the person is experiencing. And so there is a bit of me that wonders whether we will find that with kissing spine, whether we will find that actually having those dorsal processes, so the back part of the spine touching, there is actually every chance, I believe, that we will find at some point that the vast majority of horses have that and that it doesn't actually correlate to pain in the spine. I would even love, honestly, to find out. I would love a study to be done where we image, say, Brumbies and Mustangs or something like that. So horses, older horses that have never been ridden, never been backed, can't, you know, have the, you know, excuse that they've been trained badly or that their saddle didn't fit or that they were back too young. And I'd really love to know how theirs looks. Because I really want to know whether kissing spine always indicates a problem or a pathology, or whether sometimes maybe it's just an incidental finding. Maybe the majority of the time it's just an incidental finding. Maybe there are loads of horses wandering around that actually have kissing spine, and if we could ask them, they would say that they have no back pain at all. And by the same token, maybe there are plenty of horses wandering around, or we know that there are plenty of horses wandering around who do have back pain who do not have kissing spine. It does not show up on imaging for them. And so this is really just my thinking around it, because I think I think it's just an emotionally charged topic. And my theory is that it's emotionally charged because of what I said at the beginning, where it used to be only diagnosed in horses that had really intractable pain. And so therefore we assume our nervous system, our emotional response to that says kissing spine causes really intractable pain. And the truth is that we don't really know about that. We're not really sure. And I think it's a bit like the word cancer has a particular effect on us when we hear it. We hear cancer and we think terrible. We think, you know, that the person's going to die. We think that it's awful. We think of chemotherapy. We think of the worst case scenarios of that. And the truth is, you know, that there are plenty of people who have, you know, cancer cells in a mole on their skin, and it never really becomes anything. There are plenty of people with benign tumors that never actually have any detrimental effects on the person whatsoever. But that word holds a particular energy. It's like just saying it makes, for me, it's like just saying it makes my body tighten up a little bit. And I wonder if kissing spine is a little bit the same, where because of the context that we've heard it, it just holds a particular energy and we have a level of anxiety around it. And maybe it's not actually that bad. And I'm not saying it's not that bad for all horses. I believe that there are some horses where it really does cause intractable back pain. I'm not saying that it doesn't. But maybe I'm really, really curious to know how often a diagnosis of kissing spine correlates with signs of back pain. I'd be really curious about it. I hope that that's research that's done in the future. So what's my point in all this? My point is basically to be a little bit curious. You know, if your horse is diagnosed with kissing spine but has never shown any signs of back pain, I guess my point is maybe don't just go out and retire them right now. You know, maybe hold off on having the surgery. Maybe just slow down and breathe and really look into, you know, is this actually causing my horse any problems or any distress or any discomfort? And rather than working off an image, maybe working off the signs and symptoms and troubles that your horse is having or lack thereof. So maybe going by the horse rather than what's on the image. And we say this with humans as well, that we look at the human, we don't necessarily just look at the image, because at the end of the day, x-rays, as my lecturer once described to me, are literally us looking at shadow puppets. And it's not advisable to make diagnoses and prognoses from shadows, because they're not super reliable. We really have to look at the whole picture, and they're just part of the picture. So they show what may be causing pain, but we have to actually establish whether there's pain there in the first place and whether what we see in those shadows is actually causing pain. So anyway, that's my theory on it. So as I said, if you want to hear more of my theories, and not just more of my theories, but more of my actual tested theories, the ones that I've actually been able to work through and things that I have given to people to work with their horses to improve the strength of their horse's back, as well as minimizing back pain and rehabbing from kissing spine surgery is another one. If you would like that, like I said, it's a 2-hour online training. It's got an ebook with really in-depth exercises, a whole rehab or prehab back pain or back strengthening program. It's $60. It's recorded, so if you can't make the actual call, that's fine. We can send you out the recording. Yeah, have a look at Synergy and Freedom on Facebook at the events page, or send me an email, and I would love to have you there. And I hope you have a fabulous day.